Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to the program today. We have a message for you dealing with the subject of defeating fear. Defeating fear. You know, we live today in a world of quite a bit of uncertainty, and uncertainty could be the leading reason why people begin to develop fears. It certainly would be one of the leading reasons. In a time when your nation is uncertain, your freedoms are uncertain, your economy is uncertain, your job is uncertain, your health is uncertain, right on down the line, the enemy uses those times to try to put fear on God's people. Praise God. But the Bible is clear, and let me say to begin the message today, there's none of us that are living in this 100% perfect, all right? It really tickles me, and people who use stupid statements against you like, well, you know, you're not supposed to fear. If you utter a feeling or you express an emotion that you're having, well, remember now, you're not supposed to fear. Remember, you preach that you shouldn't fear. You know, people that do that to others are idiots, just to be quite frank and honest with you. We are not living this 100% perfect because we are human beings and we still live on a fallen planet. But we strive to enter in, the scripture tells us. So we're walking with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is changing our lives and changing our hearts day by day by day by day. So we certainly don't put anybody under condemnation if they find themselves in a moment of fear. We do believe that fear is a sin because it indicates a lack of trust in God. All right? So you have that statement and you put that out there, but we also understand that we live in a sanctification process. And we are so thankful that God doesn't throw us away every time we sin. Amen. Our Heavenly Father loves us and He has patience with us and He'll work with us. He only asks that we be sincere and that we live repentant lives, and that we strive to enter in to His glory, and we allow the Holy Spirit to conform us into the image of Christ. And so we don't want to put anybody under condemnation, but we certainly would appreciate the Holy Spirit's conviction coming to many, many people. Praise God. Human fear has been called mankind's deadliest enemy. Unreasonable fear, tormenting fear, and persistent fear can totally destroy human peace and happiness. I want you to think of that. When you visit a house of broken personalities, you see every type and degree of ill health. And in many cases, unreasoning fear is the basic cause. In the Bible, in 1 John 4:18, the scripture says this: "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." Now, before I finish that verse, it would do well then, if this be true, and it certainly is because it's the Word of God. It doesn't matter what I think or how I feel, the Word of God is true. Amen. And so I submit myself to the Word of God, and this tells me then that I would do well to learn about the love that God has for me. And I would do well to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and reveal His love to me and help me to love others in the same way. And now you're on your way to defeating fear. And then the second part of the verse says, "Because fear hath torment." fear will torment you. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, or you're not mature in the love walk, is another way that could be said. The term phobia is used for any abnormal, irrational, and persistent fear. This type of fear can be crippling. At times, it can cause a person to continually remain in familiar surroundings, such as their home. I don't know if you know anybody or not that deals with fear so strongly that they can't leave their house. But I have met people that's their whole life is in their house. I've met a few that won't even go out into their yard. And some others will go to their house and property. But because of fear, they are inhibited from the strong life of community that God created us for. Hallelujah. And so we come against this in Jesus' name, because we know it's not of God. And fear has many, many names. Medical science has given fear. I mean, you've got acrophobia, aerophobia, agoraphobia, hemophobia, hydrophobia, on and on we could go and list. There's some 45 that I have listed out here. Names of different phobias. There's one here called the fear of food, which is called cytophobia. A fear of fire, pyrophobia, fear of fire. Fear of the cold, especially cold water, is psychrophobia. On and on and on we can go as people have exhibited these things. Most of these type of fears, like the fear of feathers, most of it is demonic. Demonic spirits want to attack your life, want to destroy you, and they use fear to do it. Nowhere in the Bible are believers taught to fear. And you say, well, what about the fear of the Lord? I do not have time to go all the way into that here today, but I will say this much. The fear of the Lord could actually be translated the reverence, the awe, the majesty, the wonder of the Lord God. So we fear God, yes. We know that He has the power to send us into judgment. But that's not the fear that I'm shivering and I'm quaking in my boots and I'm so afraid of God. No, God is our Heavenly Father. If you're a believer today, God is our Heavenly Father and He loves us. But I know that He can do those things. I know that He has the power. He has the power to alter the planets and their courses. He can do anything. And so I respect God. I reverence God. I don't want to be on the punishment end of God's anger. And so I do the best I can to keep sin out of my life, and I cooperate with the Holy Spirit the best I can. And I keep trying, and if I fall down and make a mistake, God doesn't throw me away. I get back up, dust myself off, and start again in living for God. Nowhere in the Bible are we taught to fear in the demonic sense or in the phobia sense. Fear of God, the normal healthy fear of God that every believer should have, is not a phobia. It's a reverence, it's a respect, etc. and so forth. He loves us so much and he's blessed us so much, we don't want to disappoint the Lord. We don't want to do things that disappoint Him or make Him sad, right? So it's a healthy fear. We're taught the exact opposite of phobia. In James 4 and 7, here's what it says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, we find the first recorded fear in the Bible. And he said, I heard thy voice. This is Adam speaking to God. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And you can read the whole story there in Genesis chapter 3. And it was because of the fall, because of the sin that Adam and Eve committed against God, that he even knew he was standing there naked, because he was not covered any longer by the glory of God, because he had sinned. That's the same for each and every one of us. We are born in the planet Earth. We are physical, we are soulical, but we are not covered by the glory of God in our life until we are born again. Hallelujah. And then that covering of God comes back, praise God. And so people who don't know Jesus are controlled and literally led by almost every kind of fear there is at one time or another in their life. And we're talking here about sincerity and honesty. You know, you can come before us and you can say, well, I'll tell you, I ain't afraid of nothing. Oh, I don't fear. I got no fear. You can say whatever you want to say, but you do too. You do too battle with fears. Every human person battles with fears, saved or unsaved. And the thing about it is, we want you to know from the Word of God that there is victory over fear. There is a defeat to fear that comes through the Word of God, through the blood of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, praise God. Adam's sin caused fear. The history of fear has to do with sin. This fear should not touch the Christian. When sin is forgiven, all fears must go. The fullness of God's love destroys fear. When we begin to understand, and the love of God is multifaceted, just like faith or anything else in the Bible, multifaceted. But when we begin to realize that God sees us absolutely for who we are, He knows absolutely everything about us. He knows every thought, every action, and He still loves us. We are fully known and fully loved, and that begins to defeat fear in our lives. Hallelujah. Because somebody has said, you know, that probably the number one biggie fear is the fear of death. But when you're no longer afraid to die because you have complete trust in God, your Heavenly Father, and in the promises of heaven that He's put in His Word, and so when you're not afraid to die, you're automatically not afraid of a whole bunch of other stuff that you experience in life. Okay? So it's the love of God. Again, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And it casteth it out every time you needeth it. Praise the Lord. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So again, we ask the Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to give us a deep revelation of how God loves us. And we go to the Word of God and we begin to meditate on these scriptures and others that are in the Bible that talk about the love of God. And we begin to get a revelation that we are fully known, we are fully loved. And the facets of God's love toward us are so varied and many that we will never exhaust that subject. Praise be to God. God gives us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind, the Bible says. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The heathen have a spirit of fear. God's people have a spirit of love. At least 365 times in the Bible, the words fear not or one of its derivatives are mentioned. So God has given us a promise for every single day. Praise the Lord that we too can come out of fear. God has always told men not to be afraid. Fear not, little flock, in Luke 12:32, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, isn't that such a precious promise from the Lord? In Deuteronomy 1:17 is a command that the judges of Israel were not to fear men. It says, you shall not be afraid of the face of man. Isaiah 12:2 said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and song. He also is become my salvation. See, we really, truly do live for an audience of one. And if we're pleasing God, if we're pleasing Jesus Christ, our Lord, then we needn't fear what man can do to us. Praise be to God. Israel was told not to fear giants or walled cities. In Joshua 10:25, Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Daniel 10:19, the Bible tells us, and said, O man greatly beloved, this is an angel when he came down to Daniel, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. That's the words that God's speaking to us at this critical time in human history that we're living in right now. God knows that we have the tendency to be fearful. God knows how we love to be in control of everything that's going on in our life and in our world, but we just can't. We control very little, really. And it doesn't take much for the fragile human, which is all of us. It doesn't take much for our lives to come crashing down around us, and we become fearful, and we become wounded. And God has given us promises, one for every single day of the year at least. And here in the book of Daniel chapter 10 verse 19, he tells us, be strong. Yea, be strong. I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, no human being, no demon spirit, nothing can destroy, no one can destroy what you have with Jesus if you don't let Him. And there is a place in the Lord that we can come to. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe, the Bible says. There is a place that we can come to every single time we need to and ask God to give us strength, give us bravery, give us the courage in the situation that we're facing, and take away our fear. And you just keep praying that. You keep praying it and praying it. You keep believing it and believing it. And you stand on the Word of God. And I'll tell you, God will answer that prayer. I don't know about His timing all the time. Sometimes we think God's late, but He's never late. He's always right on time. But I do know that God will answer that prayer. And I also know that God loves it when we believe His Word. And when we come to Him for help. Amen? Praise God. In Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. in Isaiah 41, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Hallelujah to God. God takes it personal. I said, God takes it personal when people mess with his kids. Shikalabaha. So we want to understand and know right now that there's been many times in our lives that when I first started to preach, I was afraid. I found myself in many situations and many places where I was afraid. Fear comes, but we don't have to give it place in our life. And that may entail a vicious fight. It may be a bloody battle, friend. But we can absolutely see fear driven out by the power of Almighty God as we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will come to us. He will minister to us. He will take up the cause against our enemies. And in this sense, I mean, those enemies could be people, but they, in this sense, they're oftentimes spiritual enemies. The forces of hell, the demons of hell, God will drive them out. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Let's read that again. Isn't that beautiful? No matter how afraid you find yourself, no matter what you're facing, no matter what task is ahead of you, and you're fearful for whatever reason. And again, if we were to try to describe the reasons why we fear at times, we'd be here all day talking about this scenario, that scenario, the other scenario. That's not necessary. All fear is to be dealt with this way, according to the Word of God. And so, yes, you can too. Stop fearing. Yes. You won't be perfect at it 100% of the time. That's why we have salvation. That's why we have redemption. That's why we have the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's why if we sin and we confess our sins, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41, 10 and 11, once again, "Fear thou not." It's a pretty simple, straightforward statement. "For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Now this is the God of all the universe. "I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand." The right hand always speaks of the hand of power and authority. "I will uphold thee with the right hand, the power, the authority of my righteousness." God talking about himself. "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing." They're going to be as nothing as far as your path is concerned, because you're not going to let it stop you from doing what God's called you to do. You're not going to let fear drive you back and sit you down and shut you up. You're going to continue to obey the Lord. "They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." Praise God. So how do I defeat fear? How do we put it to rest? We commit ourselves to the following things, and I'm going to just give you a few things. Basically, what we have to do, each one of us, in our life, as the Holy Spirit leads us, we are to do. And He'll always lead us according to His Word. The Holy Spirit's never going to lead you to do stuff that's against the Word of God, or that even might could be considered against the Word of God. Holy Spirit is black and white, right down the center of the road, and He knows all things, and He has all power, and He's going to uphold you. He's going to give you the strength and the courage and the determination to see fear driven from your life. And it's not going to happen overnight necessarily. Now, it might. You could receive an instantaneous deliverance. But you also might have to battle it more than once. And fear will try to come back on you. I mean, we're living in the real world. Fear will try to come back. But here are a few things that we can do that will help enforce the defeat of fear. First of all, we can read the Word of God regularly. If fear is attacking your life today, but you're too busy to spend time in reading the Bible, reading the Word of the Lord, you probably won't ever get through to victory. I'll just be honest with you. We need to read the Word of God regularly. Number two, we pray unceasingly and sincerely. Now, I understand there's no way that any of us can sit down or kneel down or lay in the floor or whatever and pray all day long every day. So when it says pray unceasingly, here's what it's talking about. You can have an attitude of talking with the Lord all throughout your day while you perform your duties that you need to take care of. Just talk to the Lord. And you don't have to make a big production out of it and have conditions and situations just right in order to talk to God. Just talk to Him like you do a friend. But approach Him with the reverence and the respect that He is God Almighty. God isn't my buddy over here. God is God Almighty. And I know that He loves me, and He is my Heavenly Father, so I go in as a son when I go into His presence. There is a certain amount of respect you want to use and protocol, so to speak, but you talk to Him like He's your friend, like He's your Father that loves you. And sincerity is key. You don't, it doesn't do you any good to try to hide your fears from God, because He knows all things. He already knows it anyway. You might just well go in and talk sincerely, and also have an ear toward listening for the response of the Lord. Now, He's not going to probably talk to you in an audible voice. He can, and He has in the past, but He's most likely going to prompt you and nudge you in your spirit. He might even give you a verse to go read. You might feel impressed to go read such and such. Maybe it's Isaiah 41, 10 and 11. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that Jesus said to us. The only way we can know what Jesus said is going back to point number one, is to read the Word of God regularly, and we'll know what God has said. We may not remember it all, but in an instant, the Holy Spirit can retrieve it up in our memory and tell us to go read that again and apply it. He's going to apply it to our hearts, see? And it helps us to defeat fear. Number three, we are to confess freedom from fear with our mouth. We are to say, I am not afraid. I have faith in God, and I believe the love that God has for me. Praise God. And you can confess, let's just take Isaiah 41. I do not fear. God is with me. I'm not dismayed because He's my God. God strengthens me. God helps me. God upholds me with His power and authority, the right hand of His righteousness. And on and on and on we can go. We can take each verse of Scripture that we are led to and that we read in the Word and we can personalize it as a promise of God for us. If we come across the situation, which this is kind of another subject, but if we come across, like, let's take, for example, the land promises that God made to Israel. Those land promises don't apply to me, okay? They don't apply to the United States or to me or whatever the case might be. They apply to that particular point in time that God promised certain land boundaries to the children of Israel. But it also, there's promises woven in and out of that that applies to us in a spiritual sense, that God has given us some spiritual territory. And He has promised it to us, and no devil in hell can steal it from us. And so, in a spiritual application, there is in all of the promises in the Word of God. And so we just begin to confess freedom from fear with our mouth. God has given us the victory. You can also, in point number four, you can sing. How many knows the joy of the Lord is your strength? The Bible says it in Nehemiah 8 and 10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We are to rejoice always. And again I say rejoice, and rejoice evermore, the Bible says. Hallelujah. When we're rejoicing, it's pretty hard to be fearful, and it's pretty hard to be bummed. I really believe, and I know some people that are like this, I really believe that if all their problems disappeared today, they wouldn't know how to act, and they wouldn't know how to live life anymore. I think some people actually protect their problems. What we've got to do is have the Holy Spirit to rise up on the inside of us, to take the promises of God and the name of the Lord and the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost and drive these problems from our lives. Drive fear from our lives. Hallelujah. And one way to do that is just to begin to sing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. And then the fifth thing that you can do on your road to defeating fear in every capacity is you can ask a minister. You can ask a man or a woman of spiritual strength and ability to pray with you. Ask to be prayed for. Go to your church. Talk to the elders. Talk to the pastor. Get them to pray in for you. Well, I don't want everybody to know. Well, people have a pretty good idea already. And God certainly knows. See, don't let pride stop you from spiritual victories. Ask for prayer. And when you're praying with your pastor, with your elders, when you're praying with your strong Christian friends who have ability in the Lord, when you're praying, believe that you receive the victory. Don't wait until you have the victory to say, I have the victory. Say, I have the victory based on faith on the promises of God. And you watch the giants of fear begin to crumble and fall right before your very eyes. God does not want us bound with fear. Amen. Now, there were hundreds of other scriptures that we could have given in this lesson in the context of what we're talking about here today, defeating fear. But I'll leave you with this little thought. Every time that I personally feel or am tempted to fear, or I feel fear coming, or I sense the presence of fear, it's a dark presence, it's a demonic presence. Fear is a spirit, first and foremost. That's why it's stupid to go around scaring your little children. It's idiotic. you know, don't put a sheet over your head and jump out of dark corners at them, because you're teaching them to be afraid. And you don't have to be afraid in order to be aware of what's out there in this world that can hurt you. Okay? You don't have to live in fear just because you're aware. You need to be aware so you can take appropriate measures to protect yourself and protect your family, and on we could go. But that doesn't mean you have to live in fear. And don't put fear into other people along the way either. There are ways that you can convey something without using fear in order to do that. I've learned myself personally that when fear tries to come to me and latch itself to me, and again, let me quickly add, there's a lot of smart alecks in the world, and they're going to want to jump up and say, well, I was with you one time and you expressed a little bit of fear about this or that or the other. And you know, people want to feel like they got more than you got, and they want to feel like they're above you somehow. And all of that's game playing, and there's no room for that in the serious kingdom business of the church. I'm just going to be honest with you. But when fear tries to come to me, and I'm not perfect at this, but I am making progress, and so are you, I trust, especially after this lesson today, I just begin to praise and worship God. And I begin to call upon the name of the Lord, because the Bible says that if we will call unto Him, He will come. And the Lord comes, and the Holy Spirit begins to soothe and ameliorate my fears. The Holy Spirit will not sit there and have a pity party with you, and He will not express sympathy to your fears. He's there to destroy fear. And it don't matter the reasons, and it don't matter why it's there, it's an enemy of God. And so the Holy Spirit will attack it, and He will defeat it. And we have to lean into Him and learn to trust the Lord with these things. And there are many of them that you're going to run into in the course of your life. So I just want to encourage you to just trust God. You say, well, you make it sound so easy, it's really not that easy. Well, you know what? It really is that easy. It's hard for us to do, especially in the moment. And it's not something, I mean, we are who we are. Okay? And our personalities are what our personalities are. But here's the thing. We can ask the Lord to rework us. We can ask the Lord to give us new personalities. We can ask the Lord to change us. Being changed by the Lord in redemption doesn't simply mean, you know, I don't do the bad things that I used to do. I don't do the sins like I once did them. Or at least I don't do them as much. Or whatever you want to say. Being changed by God is both changed away from the bad and unto the good. Okay? It's a lifelong process. But dig in there and say, I am determined to trust God. I am determined to believe the Word. I am determined to put away fear. Hallelujah. Shikalabahaya. And it will be done according to your faith. Because we already know God hates fear. Fear is God's enemy. And He will come and He will smite His enemies, the Bible tells us. Heavenly Father, thank You for this lesson today. Lord God, I ask that You would help us all, Heavenly Father, to walk with You, to be honest and sincere about where we're at, and to be honest and sincere in sharing what we need to do next. And Lord, we ask You to birth Your Word on the inside of us, thereby changing us, thereby conforming us to the image of Christ, thereby empowering us with the Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise and the glory today, and we confess that we are not fearful, but we are faithful in pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray, and everybody would say, amen and amen.